Do you want to live a long, happy life? If so, this is the episode for you. Stand by.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, this is Dr. Dave, and welcome back to another episode of Slice Your Age. Of course, as you know, this is the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. And I appreciate you, my listener. Thank you so much for coming back. I am here today. We are going to have a great show. And the reason we're going to have a great show is I have a special guest with me who I'm going to bring in just a second. Before I do, I just want to make sure you know if you need me for anything, I'm here for you. One of the easiest ways to reach me, of course, is simply send me an email, sliceyourage@gmail.com. Hang out with me on Facebook, simply David Matto. That's my personal page, or my Slice Your Age page. And let's see what else. Of course, sliceyourage.com. Check out any of those and you'll be with me. You're never alone anymore. I want to make sure you live your best life possible. And in doing so, in sticking with my teachings to make sure you're living your absolute best life possible, I have a special guest with me today in the studio. If you've been with me since the beginning of Slice Your Age, you may have heard him, you may know about him, because he was on the show a little over a year ago, I think it was, maybe just about a year ago. His name is Jason Seamer, and I've got to tell you about Jason. He is one of the weirdest guys I know. Now, that's a good thing. And because we did an episode about a year ago, and it was basically talking about how being weird can keep you young, can keep you healthy. It was great. It's probably one of my most listened to episodes. I don't know, maybe people like weird things, but it's been a tremendous episode. Now, 1 year later, I invited Jason to come back and help us all live happily, live long lives, because this is proven. It's proven that maybe even the weirder we are, the crazier things we do, I'm not sticking to the so-called quote-unquote norm, what society wants us to do, the happier we will be, and I think the longer we'll live. So Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we hung out on the show before.
It's kind of scary how fast time flies. It's almost like I blinked my eyes and it's a year has gone by and here you are again in the studio. Well, thanks for coming back. I appreciate having you. So, Jason, well, a little bit of a recap. When I had you back on about a year ago, we talked about you, your life, how you're probably one of the happiest or happier guys that I know on the planet. And we came to the conclusion that one of the reasons you're so happy and you live this great life that I think a lot of people would want to live is because you do things a little bit differently. Some people may say you're weird. Some people may say you're like a little out there, but you don't necessarily do what society dictates or what your friends or family want you to do. You do what Jason Seamer wants to do. And it seems like it's worked out great for you throughout your life. So if you want to talk, let's talk about that for a couple seconds. Then I want to catch up with you and see what you've been doing over the past year to maybe be weirder than ever and crank up that life. Let's see what's going on with you. So let's talk a little bit about weirdness and how you think it really is keeping you young.
I don't know. I don't even think that I just live the life that I live. So, I mean, you're the one that's labeled me weird, Dave. No, but I would definitely say that it's probably a lifestyle that most people do not do the same, or don't live the same as I do or as you do, because you're weird too.
Very. I'm proud of that, Jason. People think I'm weird as hell, and you know something? I love it. The more people that think I'm weird, the better, because that means I'm not doing what most people are doing. So I kind of love hearing that.
Right. I mean, like I said, it's weird to think about, because I just live how I live. And if some people live the quote normal life, that's what's normal to them. But the way I live is normal to me. So it's all subjective and how you want to view it, I guess you can say.
Yeah. Well, Jason, okay. We talked about your past. We talked about your jobs that you've had that you kind of walked away from because you wanted to just do things the way you want them done. And now you've got this video production business. You're in a band. It seems like every day you're busy either doing video shoots, editing video, writing songs for your band or for your personal acoustic stuff. So you've got like this ideal life. But let's catch up and talk about what's been going on with Jason over the past year that maybe we can help anybody listening to this show say, yeah, you know, I want to live more like this guy. Maybe I want to live a little more like Dr. Dave, because Jason and Dr. Dave are kind of the same. And if I do this, maybe my life will improve. So what's been going on with you the past year or so?
Well, first, I just want to address the whole weird thing one more time. And I think it's all about living life on your own terms. And when you do that, a lot of times it has to do with stepping out of your comfort zone and doing, if you feel as if your life is not going in a way that you are, you know, ultimately happy every day, you have to make certain changes and sacrifices maybe not sacrifices, but go out on a limb a little bit and break through barriers and step out of your comfort zone to live a happier life. It's a little scary to do, such as if you want to, you know, quit your job and start a business, or get out of a relationship that you feel is toxic and you don't want to be in, or you shouldn't be in, or, you know, tell your friend that you don't think that they're treating you fairly. Whatever it is, it's about being honest with yourself and with other people, and, you know, kind of breaking those barriers to put yourself in a better situation.
You know, so we all know that when you're living your life every day and you're not stressed, you know, you like your relationships, you like your job. And when, you know, when you're not stressed, and not only that, but when you're happy, basically every day, it's been shown that you'll be healthier, you will live longer, your body won't be breaking down from stress. We have stress causes diseases and issues and all kinds of things going on. No matter, and I've told people this for a long time, no matter what kind of food you're eating, no matter what type of exercise you're doing, and believe me, those are all good and important because I do them all. But if you're not truly happy, if your inner self doesn't feel really good about you, then no matter what you're doing, eating or exercising, it's not going to work. You're not going to have this ideal relationship with your body, and you're going to have issues and diseases and God forbid, who knows what else. So Jason, would you say basically every day, would you say you're happy every day?
I would say that in general, as with everyone else, that life is a work in progress. And I don't want to say I wake up completely happy and loving life every single day, but I do say that I wake up in the morning and I reflect on the things that I'm doing, the situations I put myself in, and I question, am I putting myself in the right place, and what can I do to make myself better? If you wake up and you just accept the norm as this is just life and it's supposed to be this way, and I'm just a victim and I'm not putting myself in a, you know, I have no control over this. Well, that's really not a good place to be in. You should always reflect on yourself and think, what can I do to make my life better? What is toxic in my life? What is not working for me? When you first asked me to come on the show today, I know that you knew that this past year, since we've, you know, chatted and I was on the show before, I've gone through a couple life changes. And I guess I'm going to talk about that.
Go right ahead. Yeah, and I knew eventually we'd be talking about this on the show, but since you brought it up now, there's no better time than now. So let's hear about your life changes. And I want you, when I say you, I don't mean Jason, but I'm you that's listening to me right now, listening to us. Listen to Jason very carefully, because I believe what he is going to say, and I'm not positive exactly how he's going to say it, but I believe what he's going to say is truly going to help you. So Jason, yes, please share away.
Well, one of the reasons why I want to be on this show talking about this is because I went through something this summer that I felt as if I had to make a change in my life, and I'm here to help other people who may be going through the same thing or may have these sort of situations arise in their life. I want to let them know that there is a good way out of them if they're not good. So basically, I think the last time we were on the show, one of the main things that I was considered weird for was the fact that I'm not a relationship type of person. And I don't mean that in a, I completely avoid relationships, but more so, I rarely put myself in a situation where I let myself be vulnerable to people, or, quote, you know, get feelings for people, because I want to make sure that they're the right person for me. And over the summer, I started a relationship with someone. And I'm not going to go into details exactly with, you know, what happened. And, you know, obviously I'm not in this situation anymore because that's why I'm here talking about it. But, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. And that's not what this is about. It's more about letting people know that if you're in a situation like I was that really wasn't making me happy overall, if you see red flags and if you find yourself not in a situation where you are happy every day with a significant other, get out. Is really the best way I can put it. I went through a 4-month span where I was with someone that I cared about and saw a future with. And ultimately, I just wasn't, it wasn't progressing in a way that was making me happy. So as hard as it was, I removed myself from the relationship.
So I'm just curious, it took 4 months, but when you first got into this relationship, did you know on some level, like deep, it might have been deep down inside in your heart, did you know there were red flags right away, or did it take several months for you to really figure this thing out? I'm just curious, because I swear, I don't know. I think if I got into something and this person wasn't right, I just think I would know it kind of soon. But so talk to us about that. How long did it really take, and then what did you do?
Well, to be honest with you, Dave, I saw red flags right away when I met this person. I was very physically attracted to the person, and I think I let the red flags slide. And, you know, I was kind of blinded, I think, so to speak. And looking back at those red flags, those sort of things kept resurfacing throughout that 4-month period. And when you first get involved with somebody, you don't necessarily... Or you overlook, you know, those warning signs because maybe you lust after them or you find them physically attractive. But once things progress and feelings start to get involved, those red flags become magnified. And it's up to you at that point to decide if this is something you can live with for the long term of, you know, of life, or if you're feeling uncomfortable, you have to look at it as if, well, it's only been 4 months or it's only been a month or however long it's been. Or if it's been a whole year, there's no better time to put yourself in a better situation than as soon as you can.
But I'm just trying to figure this out. So you knew you were attracted to this woman physically, it sounded like, but almost right away out of the gate, you knew that you saw these red flags. But on some level, did you feel you needed to get out of there very, very soon, but you couldn't do it? So on some level, because you were so attracted to her, you just didn't want to let her go. You thought maybe she would change?
Well, another thing I learned is that people are very good at protecting themselves. And again, I don't want to say go into too many details because it wouldn't be fair to the other person. And I'm not that type of person to do that. And hey, I'm just as much at fault for not getting out sooner if I knew that things were going to, if I, you know, saw those red flags. So I guess what I want to say is people protect themselves. And if you call people out on red flags, they're going to have an excuse, you know, I think it's a defense mechanism. So when you see someone as a nice, sweet person and you kind of question red flags and things you find might be a little bit abnormal or things that you're cautious about, they're going to have an explanation because they want to protect themselves. And I'm the type of person that gives someone the benefit of the doubt. Put in that same situation now, if I see the same red flags in future people that I meet, I'm running for the hills right away.
Just suppose she would show up in your life again and say, "Jason, hey, let's give it another chance. I'm telling you something. It's going to be better. I've changed." How would you answer that?
First of all, I would say, "How have you changed?" Throw it right back. And because to me, to change anything about yourself in a major way requires therapy. You know, extensive therapy, because I know that I've had therapy in my life and things don't change overnight. There's been things about myself that I know that I needed to do better, to get better at, as far as, you know, on many levels. And I know that I've changed over years of seeing a therapist from time to time. And I find it very, you know, it's very possible to change yourself, but you have to be willing to put in the work. And if you reach a point in a relationship with someone that's not willing to put in that work and self-reflect and to put in the work that you're putting in to make yourself better, then it's a deal breaker.
So what would you say to anybody out there that's listening right now that kind of sees themselves in the same situation? They're in a relationship, or maybe it's not even a relationship. Maybe it's a job that they know. There could be red flags at a job. There could be red flags in a relationship. There could be red flags in almost anything. So if somebody's in a situation where they know in their heart things would be better without this job, without this relationship, but they're just afraid because the unknown on the other side is often scarier than staying in that relationship or that job. But having been through this, and we talked about your, jobs last time you were on, which is about a year ago, now a relationship. So you've seen it all, done it all. What would you say to this listener that knows in their heart that something's wrong, but they're just kind of either stalling or afraid to get out of this thing? What would your advice be?
I think the first thing you have to do is take note of exactly what those things are and never forget those things. Because even if you do leave this relationship and you seek out another partner, you could be either, subconsciously choosing your next partner that has the same characteristics that you're trying to get away from. So you really need to see for yourself and take note of what exactly you don't want in your life. And you may still attract people that have those same qualities that you need to stay away from, but you need to take note of that and let them become red flags and make it mandatory that you do not ever get involved with people that carry the same red flags, because it's going to be the same pattern. So you need to really figure out what you need to avoid and stick to it.
It's interesting, Jason, how some people will repeat. They'll leave somebody, leave a relationship, but then enter the same the next relationship with the same type of person, or even the same thing with a job, with a boss. They couldn't stand their last job. They hated their last boss. But for some reason, they seek out a new job, and they're in the same situation. So great, great advice. Let's switch gears for a little bit now, because a few days ago, you and I found ourselves it was an evening, I remember, that was a very big playoff football game. And we're both from the Baltimore area, in case you're listening and you're not sure where we're from. We're both here in the Baltimore area. And the Ravens happen to be in the playoffs against the New England Patriots. And I think it's pretty safe to say, Jason, that practically every person, or at least I should say practically every male in the area here was, if they hadn't gone up to New England, to Boston, to see the game live, they were probably watching it on TV at their home, at a bar, somewhere, because it's just the thing to do. Now, you and I were not doing that. We found ourselves in a pho restaurant. Pho. Now, in case you don't know what pho is, it is a Vietnamese noodle soup, and it's one of my loves, and it's one of Jason's loves. We both we're hooked on this Vietnamese noodle soup. Now, as you know, being plant-based and vegan, we found a great place. Been going there for a long time that actually has vegetarian or vegan pho, which is all vegetables, a vegetable broth, so there's no meat products. No animal products whatsoever. Jason, on the other hand, still does eat some meat, and I won't hold that against him on the show right now. It's okay. But that's not the point. The point is that when every male in the Baltimore area was watching this extremely important game, neither of us could really care less about it. I hate to say this, but we were having fun, and I mean, and no play on words there, fun, eating this Vietnamese noodle soup. Yes, we're weird, and in a sense, because it was almost like embarrassing to check in on Facebook from this restaurant, because people would say, the normal person would say, what are you guys doing eating Vietnamese noodle soup when this game is on? Aren't you going to watch the game? Now, coincidentally, they had the game on in the restaurant, but we were paying half attention, not really. But let me tell you something, Jason. I have no problem admitting to people that I am not normal when it comes to sports these days. Now, there was a time, and I know the same thing with you, I was really into sports. When I was younger, I followed the Baltimore Colts. I was a tremendous Baltimore Orioles fan. I knew all the stats. I knew all the players. Not so much now. I'm weird. I really couldn't care less, because really it just takes up too much of my time, and I'm just really not that interested. But being weird, let me tell you something. I had a great time just hanging out with you for 3 hours talking about different things in the pho restaurant. It's weird as hell, but I think it's fun. It's not stressful. It's a passion. And because of that, for that reason, I feel it adds a really positive benefit to my life and to my health.
Well, it kind of made me think, and I think we talked about this while we were sitting there, is like how many people do things, whether it's a hobby or just any average thing on a weekend, that they find themselves in a certain place or whatever, or with certain people that they feel like maybe they should be doing as opposed to what they really enjoy. Does that make sense? I mean,
totally. Absolutely. Now, I will say that I think most people, it seems like in this area, most people love the Ravens. I don't think they're faking it. I think they love the Ravens. But I think, and I think they got a lot of pleasure out of watching that game, even though we lost. But I do know, at least I know we lost. But I do agree with you totally that many people do things in their lives based on what they think they should be doing. And that's a really, really good point. And I'm certainly not like that. And I don't think you're like that either.
No, I mean, I don't want to, you know, nothing against Baltimore or Ravens football or any sports team locally, right. But it's just interesting. Like, you know, we were talking about sports in general, nothing against sports at all, but I think people almost like depend on, cliche, but it's a game. Obviously it's a game, but people depend on a game sometimes to depict their own happiness. And, you know, they may let a certain score of a game, you know, I was on Facebook just the other day, and people are depressed and saying they, you know, they woke up the next morning after the Ravens lost and it ruined their whole day. Like, you gotta come up with something better to control your happiness. You can't let things that aren't even real depict, you know, the mood that you're in, you know, your level of happiness. So I don't know. I think people just need to find something within themselves to make themselves happy, and not just like a bunch of guys on a field that don't really care about them. You know, I don't think the team is waking up saying, hey, you know, Jim Smith down the road had a bad day at the bank where he works his desk job. You know, I'm depressed.
Yeah, really good point. And I know I can say this because I've said it on the show many times. I feel like a deep, deep happiness within. I am a happy person. Now, look, it's not always been that way for me. I mean, as I said, I've said this on the show before. I went through a really tough time in my life, 14 years ago or so, 13, 14 years ago, when I went through a divorce. And I've talked about this. And I was at a really, really bad point in my life when I was not happy with Dr. Dave. I wasn't happy with who David Matto was. Now, I've taken measures and learned how to totally change that through a lot of things that I do now. And I do things for me. So it's a really good point, Jason. I don't do things I'm not watching the Ravens games to become happy. And if, you know, look, if it's a hobby of mine, and if it's a hobby of yours, that's totally fine. I'm not knocking that. But yeah, I'm happy within, and
I just want to say one more point to that. Again, I'm not bashing. I feel like I need to justify this a little further. I'm not bashing people that watch games as pure hobby, because there are people that can separate the two. You know, I think the more intelligent folks will say, you know, hey, it's just a game. I was entertained. It's not going to ruin my life. But I genuinely feel like some people totally let these games control the way that how they feel, like and sometimes the way that they treat the people around them, or maybe their family. You know, the team loses, then they'll take it out on their spouse or their kids, or, you know, I really feel like some people take it too far.
You know, that's a really good question. I'd be curious to know, like, if there's, and I hate to say it, like, this is an increase in domestic abuse or even like alcohol use if the home team does not win. I'd say there's a very good chance.
Dave, spend a weekend in Federal Hill in Baltimore after a Ravens game, and if the team loses, count the number of fights out in the street, or as opposed to if the team wins. Or, you know what, it might even be the same.
So if it's the same if the team wins or loses, then maybe just Federal Hill is a place that people fight no matter what.
It's just alcohol.
But I think you're right. Okay, well, and again, Jason, you've said it a few times already. I'm certainly not bashing people that watch games, because sports is extremely popular, not just here in the U.S., but all over the world. But, you know, I've just chosen not to really take my time and immerse myself in that, because it's, first of all, and this is only my opinion, it's how I live my life, but it's really, really time-consuming, not only to be watching the games, but to make sure you're up on the stats and the players and all of that. Honestly, I'm very weird too. But I'd rather spend my time walking through an organic, natural grocery store, getting good food for me and eating things, and as opposed to sitting out eating nachos and drinking beer and watching and chicken wings and watching a game. It's just me, but it's weird. But I think weirdness does work for me and for you, Jason.
Well, I think as many times as we sit here and try to say and defend ourselves and say no, listen, because we don't want people to hate us for saying that. But I think what we're both trying to get at is, just to keep in mind, to, you know, put it in perspective. You know, when you find yourself being stressed over anything, it doesn't even have to be a football game. If it's, you know, something on TV or the local news or the just anything that's outside of your control, put in perspective that, you know, you don't have to let things that are outside of who you are control the mood and your own happiness.
And just do things that you truly love to do in life. If there's something that you like, and no matter how simple it is, I mentioned Jason and I met up at the pho restaurant and spent literally 3 hours there. I don't even know what we did other than eat. We were just talking, and it was so relaxing. And that is, to me, that's what life is all about, spending it with the people that you like. Life is too short for me, I'll tell you, to be spending time with people that I really am not that interested in or don't share the same views. It's way too short. And I mean, God, the 3 hours we spent the other night, went, it seemed like it was 15 minutes until they started putting the chairs up on the tables and mopping underneath our feet and kicking us out. Literally. That's what life's all about for me. And if I would have been watching a game, I mean, you know, maybe I would have had fun with some people, some friends, but I don't know. I think this was more fun. So my point is, be weird, do things that you like, even if other people think like it's way out of the norm. Most guys in the area would think my son, my dad, they think I'm weird for not watching the game. Everybody says, Dave, where are you going to be watching the game? And when I say I'm not really watching the game, they look at me, they give me a weird look.
You know, it's funny. You kind of brought up a point in there talking about the people you hang out with, and that's such an important thing too. You know, we all have families that, you know, there might be people in the family you see at a family gathering, a birthday party or a holiday, and you wouldn't really particularly hang out with them normally, but they're your family, so you see them and you kind of have to or whatever. Sometimes I feel like people might feel pressure to hang out with people that they don't even care to hang out with. Now, I know in holidays you can't control that a lot, because you're invited to a certain person's house and there's Uncle Bob, who's the total douchebag. But, you know, I think in general, some people get themselves into friendships and social situations where they're hanging out with people that maybe they feel like they should, because it's a status thing, or I don't know. I think there's various reasons, but another thing that I've learned through the years is, if someone's not helping you enrich your life and making you a better person, then there's no need to waste time in spending time with people like that. Surround yourself with people that are better, that make you a better person.
You know, I've got a lot of people. There's a lot of people I know, and it's through my businesses, through Slice Your Age, and it's a really good point, Jason, because I really choose people that I want to hang with very carefully, because again, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. There are only so many days in the week when you make plans. And I can't say that I've got a million friends, but the friends that I do have are very close friends and people that I know. If I call them up at 2 or 3 in the morning, they probably do anything for me. Look, I remember talking to you on the phone a week or two ago, Jason, and it was a time that wasn't really convenient for you to talk. I was out of town. I called you about something, and the first thing you said to me, hey, it's not a great time to talk, but is everything okay? I told you then, that meant so much to me. That's a true friend, because you really cared and you didn't just want to cut me off. You want to make sure I wasn't calling for an emergency or something like that. But that's what a friend is all about. And like I said, I don't have a million friends, but the friends that I have, I think I can ask them anything. I can tell them anything. They're the ones I really want to spend the time on this planet with. And I just, you know, maybe I'm weird, but that's That's what I enjoy doing. And no matter what anybody else thinks, that's what's keeping me young. It's what's helping slice my age and keeping my life pretty much stress-free. I don't have to stress out of, or I'm going to be spending time in a social situation with somebody that I just don't want to be hanging with. That doesn't happen to many. It used to. It absolutely used to. I used to be involved in all these things I just did not want to be involved with. But I realized, you know something? Life's too short. I only want to be with the people I want to be with, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, the question is, where do these pressures come from? Why do people think that they can't break out of situations because of pressure? Where does this pressure come from? Why?
That's a great question. And I can tell you that in my, and not to bash my previous marriage or my previous life, but I was involved in a lot of social, I can't say that today, social situations that I personally did not want to be involved in, but I just got into these things, and I wasn't really having a whole lot of fun in a lot of them. But when I realized, hey, you know something, again, life is there's only a finite amount of time we're here, and I want to spend time with people that I truly want to be with. It's hard for me to answer that question, Jason. I don't know really how it really happens, but it does. But I'm definitely much more cognizant of it right now. I turn down, some people might think I'm a jerk, but I turn down lunch requests. I turn down time where people want to get together with me just to meet me and get to know me a little bit more, because I don't have time for everybody. So some people might think it's really tough to kind of get into my inner circle. Maybe it is. I don't really know. But I just don't have time for every single thing. So I pick very, very carefully.
Well, I think it means that you have boundaries, and that's the most healthy thing you can do. And this kind of wraps around to how we started the show. It's knowing what's best for yourself and doing what ultimately makes you happy. And if people have unreasonable expectations on you, or if you are put in situations that you don't feel comfortable, whether it's a relationship or a friendship or a social gathering or whatever, you don't have to do anything because it's your life. And, you know, if you say yes to meeting up with somebody that you don't want to, ultimately that doesn't make you feel good. So don't do it. Have boundaries. Stick to your guns. Do what you want to do. Live the life you want to live. And that's the happiest you can be.
I learned a short time ago, when I say a short time ago, I don't know, a few years ago, whenever, I learned how to say a very simple word. I did a whole episode on this, actually. I learned how to say no. And learning how to say no is a life changer, because, you know, look, I used to get requests to maybe speak in front of an audience that I really wasn't interested in speaking in front of, maybe do a gig somewhere. And I have no problem saying no now, and it's helped out an incredible amount. Is it weird? Maybe some people would think it's weird. I turn down things that might offer me money that I just don't really want to be associated with. It's fine. It's my life, though, and I do it, and I feel really good about it. So great way to kind of end the episode. Again, we kind of came full circle. Be yourself. It's your life. Be happy within. Do what you want to do, and don't try to do things just to please other people. And, yeah, a lot of people will think it's a little bit weird, Jason, but I think both of us are kind of living examples that we're here today, just recording this show. We hung out together for a little while beforehand, just kind of talking about the show, and we're both kind of loving life. And maybe it is a little, we're not, it's not the norm. Neither of us are wearing ties at work. We're kind of just doing our own thing, but it's working for us.
I don't want to speak for you, but I know that I'm just an average guy trying to get through this life the happiest way possible. And I feel like you're the common man who kind of comes from the same point of view. And I'm just telling people out there, I want to help you to know and to do what has worked for me. So again, I'm not some, you know, guy that's some savior to everybody. I'm just a normal dude. But these are the things that I found that have led me to live a happier life.
Darn, you know something? I thought you were a savior. I thought you were like the answer to everybody's problem. I thought you were it. But
give me that mic back. I am a savior. Believe in everything I say and do.
You know, the bottom line is, and a great way to kind of end the episode is, we are. You said it about yourself. You kind of alluded to the fact that I'm a regular guy too. I'm no different than you. I'm no different than anybody listening to this show right now. I kind of figured out what to do, similar to you, and I'm just living the best life possible. And I think anybody, you that's listening to this, you right now can do exactly what I'm doing, what Jason's doing. It'll change your life. There's no question about it. But you got to do it. You got to do it. You can't say, well, maybe next year is going to be a good year for me. Maybe I'll wait until blank happens. You know, I've discovered you got to do it now. When you know the time is now to make that change, I'm going to urge you, after listening to this show, please pick one thing that you want to see change, one thing that you want to see improve, one thing that you want to see made better in your life, and make it a point to change it now. Do whatever it takes to change it now. Jason, thank you so much for being on the show again. I think we'll have you back hopefully before another year, because it's kind of like the two of us are sitting on a sofa together on a couch, kind of just maybe it's like a little like couch talk, I don't know, but we just kind of say what's on our mind, don't hold back, and our goal is to just help you out there, help you live your best life ever. So thanks so much, Jason. I appreciate it. And I think that puts another episode in the books. I am Dr. Dave. This is Slice Your Age. This has been episode 68, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much for being here. And guess what? Please keep in mind, you are no longer alone. You got me. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.
Slice Your Age.